All right, Brother Beckham, why don't you come up? That was Mrs. Beckham singing for us, and we appreciate Brother Beckham and the message this morning, and we're looking forward to what he has for us tonight. And so let's give him one more last Pacific Baptist welcome.
Well, the love of God, isn't it wonderful? I tell you, I am so glad he loved me. Aren't you glad he loved you? Amen. Yes. And aren't you glad he loves us? Amen. Every day. He is our Father. Do you talk to him? Do you talk to him? We praise him, don't we? But do we talk to him? We talk about him, but do we really talk to him? I hope you do. Let me call your attention again tonight to Colossians chapter 1. My wife noticed your theme at the bottom of your theme up here for the year, Colossians 1:10. Wonderful, wonderful. I'll read that verse here in a minute. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For, let's stand for the reading, please. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing, that's very important, in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let us pray, please. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word again tonight. I pray, Father, that I can be very loving and very caring and very sensitive to the needs of the church here and, Lord, and also to my needs. And, Father, I pray that if there's a soul here that doesn't know you, they'll be saved tonight. Maybe someone is away from you. Lord, I pray they'll return back. So, Father, I give you the service right now. And I'll try to do my best. I sure love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1, this morning I gave you some thoughts out of these three verses. Let me review a little bit for you. Paul's desire was that these Christians would be filled with the knowledge of his will. The word filled means to be completely filled or to be totally controlled. And Paul wanted these people to be controlled by God's will. So he wrote them a letter. But Paul also knew the Old Testament. And he knew that Proverbs 19 and verse 2 says this: the soul be without knowledge, it's not good. And for a lack of knowledge, that's the reason why Israel went into exile in Isaiah 5:13. And then God said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. A knowledge of what, Brother Beckham? A knowledge of God's will. Can I ask you this right off? Are you in God's will? Are you in God's will? Are you living in God's perfect will? See, Paul wrote this to the Colossian believers, but he also wrote it to us. The Bible is not just written to these people in that time of history, but it's written for us too. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible is written for us too. And to know God's will is not that hard. I said that this morning, and let me just review. It's not that hard to know God's will for your life. Number one, it's always God's will for the lost to be saved. It is always God's will, once you get saved, to be sanctified so God can use you. He cannot use a dirty vessel, but he can use a clean one. And he has down through the centuries, and he's still using people like us. And I want to be used, but I cannot be used if I just travel around the country and out of the country and preach the word and not be concerned about God's will for my life. That's so important, and it's important for you too. And so look in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. The Bible is very plain about sanctification. Sometimes it kills a service when the preacher begins to talk about living pure and living clean lives. Things get tight. But it shouldn't. It should. We should, as God's children, we should rejoice that we have the opportunity to live a clean life for God. Listen to this verse. You cannot argue with it. It says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." But we are to abstain from the appearance of evil too. We are to be a peculiar people. And I'll say it again, God cannot use a dirty vessel, but he can use a clean one. And so it's God's will. Let me show you how I know it's God's will. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. There is no way to argue with that. It is as plain as day, isn't it? And so you get saved, you get sanctified, and then it is God's will, as I told you this morning, it is God's will for you to have a prayer life. A lady walked up to me not many years ago, and she and her husband, and they said to me, "Brother Beckham, I want you to know, it is easy for me to read my Bible. It is easy to go out soul winning. It is easy to even come to church on Sunday morning, maybe not Sunday night, but it's pretty easy to come on Sunday morning. But Brother Beckham, you talk about talking to God and praying and all that terminology. But Brother Beckham, let me tell you something. The hardest thing I find in my Christian walk with God is to talk to him. I can find time for everything else, but I can't find time to pray. I don't know." I said, "Ma'am, sir, I know. I know. You really just don't love him. Because if you love God, you're going to talk to him." Amen? And they just looked at me and nodded their head and walked off. But the easiest thing as a Christian that we do, it shouldn't be reading our Bible or just reading our Bible and just going out soul winning and coming to church and living right. Prayer should be the easiest because he's our Heavenly Father. Amen. And we love him. Do you agree with that? So let me show you why I preach so strongly on having a prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing in everything give thanks. Why, Brother Beckham? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I say it dogmatically. If you love him, you'll talk to him. If you love him like you should, you'll talk to him. And you'll talk to him not just in hard times, but in good times too. You'll talk to him like Paul says, everywhere, always, without ceasing. Why should I do that? Why should you do that? Because it is the will of God. Look in verse Ephesians chapter 5. Once you get saved, you get sanctified. And then you start talking to him. And then you get filled with the Spirit of God. And I want to show this to you. This too is the will of God. Ephesians 5, verse 17 and 18, whereby be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It is God's will for everyone in this room that claims to know him to be filled with the Spirit of God, and not just on Sunday, but every day of the week and every month of the year and every year. Amen. And so when Paul wrote this letter, he was concerned about them. As I travel across the land, I am also concerned about our local churches. I am very concerned because I just don't see what I should be seeing in churches. You know what the will of God should be so important to us that we just think about it all the time. You say, well, Brother Beckham, what if we're not in the will of God? You'll know it. You'll know it. And what we need, Pastor, what we need today in our churches, I guess more than anything else, is honesty. We need to be honest with ourselves, and we need to be honest with God. Do you love me, Benny? Yes, Father, I love you. And when he asked you that question, do you love me? What is your answer? Because he said, if you love me, listen to verse 10, I want you to walk worthy. I want you to walk a worthy walk for me. And I want that walk to be all pleasing. I want it to be fruitful. I want you to increase. I want you to grow in the knowledge, in my knowledge. Are we doing that? Are you doing that tonight? I hope so. Now look with me also with that word walk. I said this morning that this word walk doesn't refer to just once in a while, not just maybe once a week, but it's a daily thing. It's not a weekly thing. It's not a monthly thing. It's not a yearly thing, but it's a daily thing that we do for our Heavenly Father. I want you to look in verse 10b with me. As a young man at the age of 16, I started preaching. Been preaching 58 years now. And you know, one of my desires is to be fruitful. Not just to walk a worthy walk. If I'm walking a worthy walk, it will be a fruitful walk. Look in verse 10b, being fruitful in every good work. But you know what dawned on me in a hotel room not long ago? I was sitting there, maybe a year ago now. I was just sitting there praying and thinking about my father and talking to him. And I have always been, tried to be, a soul winner. I've always tried to win souls. But you know, I went to all kind of Bible colleges, and every one of them taught me how to be a soul winner. They taught me how to do an outline. They taught me how to what to say from the pulpit, not know what not to say. But they always emphasized that soul winning was the main fruit. And you know, I believe that, preacher. I believe that. But let me tell you, it's not the only fruit for a Christian to produce. I started preaching this message a few years ago, and people looked at me. I was in a well-known church, and they looked at me pretty hard that night. And I said, there's other fruit other than soul winning. That's important. We are to pass out that tract. We're to let people know about the grace of God. It's for all men. We need to do that. But there's other fruit in the Bible that we need to produce and that we need to think about. And look in 10b, it says, and be fruitful in every good work. And the Bible defines fruit in various ways. And here Paul speaks, bearing fruit in his good work. It is good work. That's the way a church grows, by us knocking doors and telling people about Jesus. But let me show you some more fruit. Be part of the message. Look in Hebrews 13 in verse 15. The Bible defines praise as fruit. You know, God's people should be the happiest people in the world. And it's okay. This is my third or fourth time preaching from your pulpit, Pastor. Thank you so much. But there are other fruit. And can I just read this verse? Is it okay to read this verse? Amen. Because sometimes I go into churches, they just sit there and look at me. It's kind of spooky up here sometimes. Especially when people look at you like, would you hurry up? I'm a Georgia boy. I talk slow, okay? But let me read this verse to you. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of what? Of praise to God once in a while, or if you feel like it. No. To God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his dear name. You say, I don't have anything to thank God for. Oh, yes, you do. If you're saved. How many of you are saved? Raise your hand. Okay. You have something to thank God for. You're in the house of God tonight. That's something to thank God for. Amen. We live in America. That's something to thank God for. Amen. And so we are to do that with the fruit of our lips. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it's okay to even do this. I was sitting there this morning, and I remember the other times that I've been here, and I have seen people raising their hand. Someone said, oh, Brother Beckham, you believe that? I thought you was educated. Of course. I want him to know, and I want you to know that I have praise for him in my heart. Amen. And back home, they do all kind of crazy things in independent Baptist churches. I don't quite do some of that stuff, okay? But I will. You will see Brother Beckham raising his hand sometime and just saying, thank you, Lord. And I was in South Carolina. Right down the road from Dr. Harold Seidler's church, which was a praising type church. And I was sitting there. I was just in one of those camp meeting type church. And I was with my grandson, and this lady, the pastor's wife, boy, she got excited. And I said something that I shouldn't have said. I told my grandson, I said, she's a fake. Oh, it's a wonder if my father didn't whip me right there in front of the whole place. I'm talking about God, amen. And so I left that night. My grandson was about 10, 11, 12 years old, and he had never heard me say something like that. And so I said, so Richard said, "Granddad, I want to go to Walmart." I said, "What do you want to go to Walmart for?" And he said, "I just want to go." And we've been in this hotel all these days, and I just want to get out of here. I want to go to Walmart. And I said, "Okay, let's go." And so we walked into Walmart, started walking around, and I heard a voice that I had just recently heard. And that voice was the same type of praising, high pitch. I said, "Richard, you stay right here. I'll be right back." And I walked over a couple aisles, and I looked down, Pastor, and there was the pastor's wife that I heard in the church house with both hands up in the air in the aisle of Walmart, rejoicing and praising God. The Holy Spirit said, "You go and apologize to her." Do I have to? It's just between me and my grandson. No, you go and tell her. And I walked over. I said, "Sister, I need to apologize to you because last night I called you a fake. But you're no fake. You are the real deal." And she said, "Oh, Brother Beckham, that is okay. And it's okay for you to praise God. And it's okay for me." Do you have, are you bearing that fruit? I know you go out door knocking, you read your Bible, you're clean, you're pure, but do you praise God? That's a fruit that a lot of people are not producing. And I think our churches ought to get back to that one. Amen. And then look in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22 and 23. We see the Christian character is fruit. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," not fruits, "but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Against there is no law." Do you have that fruit in your life tonight? Do you have the fruit of love in your life? Do you have the fruit of joy? Do you have the fruit of peace? You said, "Brother Beckham, I haven't had the peace of God in a long, long time." You know whose fault that is? It's, if I don't have peace, you know whose fault that is? It's my fault. Colossians 3 and 16 says, "Let the peace of God." That's our responsibility. We are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We are to let the peace of God be the umpire in our life. Amen? And all these things here are Christian character. But do you have them? Do you have them as a child of God? Do you have them? I hope you do. But if you don't, in a few moments, you'll be given the opportunity to come down to the altar and ask, just say, "Father, forgive me. I haven't been praising you. Father, forgive me for not having this love and this joy and this peace and this long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temper. God, forgive me." And get up and go on about your business. Amen. Just start over. And then look in Romans 1, verse 13. I've already touched on soul winning and witnessing, or whatever you want to call it. But let me read it to you. "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So as a child of God, there it is. Are you producing these fruit? I hope you are. Because if you're not, you're not in the will of God again. And if you're not in the will of God, what did I say this morning? If you're not in the will of God, you're out there in that crazy world on your own. We got to stay in the will of God, church. Amen. It's very important. Young people, it's very important. The will of God. You say, well, I really don't know it, Brother Beckham. I just, oh yeah, you do know. I have read it to you from the old black book. Here it is. It's so plain. It's so easy to tote this Bible around. And it's so easy to say we love it and we believe in it. Oh, it's so easy to, but you know, when it comes right down to it, is it that easy to live it? It's quiet. Very quiet. That's good. That tells me that you are thinking right now. You are thinking. You are thinking. But a third result of this knowledge of God is spiritual growth. But I want to close with this one tonight, because this sermon is a 7-day sermon. Usually it takes 7 days to get through this message. Don't worry. Some of you are about to panic. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach the entire thing. But I want to close with this one point. If we are in the will of God, and if we are growing and we are maturing, guess what? You're going to love this old blessed book. Let me read it to you in Psalms 119, 97. It says, oh, the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. All the day. Can you say that tonight? I hope you can. I hope you can say, Brother Beckham, as you were preaching, I've asked God to forgive me. And I'm gonna start tonight being in the perfect will of my Heavenly Father. I'm going to start the night praising him. I'm going to start the night just all over. But, Brother Beckham, I'm going to start also tonight meditating in that book. Meditation is not all bad. Not when you're meditating in this. This is a good old book. Amen. It was being preached that Sunday morning. At the age of 16, I heard it preached. Took 2 steps to the altar and asked God to save me. I had already walked the aisle at the age of 12 and joined the church and was baptized. But not until I was 16 did I receive Christ into my heart. And from that day to this night, let me tell you, it hasn't all been easy. But I'll tell you this, there is no better life than the life of a Christian. Amen. So as we all stand right now, as our musicians begin to play, you may just want to come and get around the altar and just do whatever God is laying upon your heart right now to do. If you're here and you're lost, I pray you'll be saved tonight. If you're here and you're backslidden against God, I pray you'll come and get right with Him. The love of God. He wants you to come. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to be honest. And you'll be glad you did once you do it. Another plead for the lost. Oh my. He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting on you to say, Father, I'm lost. I need to be saved. He's waiting on the believer to say, Father, I made a mess of my life and I just want you to know I want to return home. I want to live for you again. How about it?